Morning. So glad to see all of you here this morning. And what a gentle, compassionate Savior we have. And when the pastor gave me this assignment, the compassionate, gentle shepherd, it was like, ooh. I told him I didn't answer right away. And then that night I sat down at the table with a blank piece of paper. Said, okay, Lord, give me some shepherd stories. And they started coming. And if I told them all to you, you would be here till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we won't do that to you. But the Lord is so good. I want to start out by telling you, and you can put the pictures on. This is a picture that we took. Our first 11 years, Ron's ministry was in the Idaho Conference. And this was a scene that we would see when we'd take a Sabbath afternoon ride in the country, or any time. It didn't have to be on the Sabbath. And there were sheep that we would see in the pastoral fields. And it was always fun to watch in the spring about this time. Actually, they start before now. Those little lambs and kicking up their heels. And they just looked like they were joyful in the Lord. And that's what we want to be. And as those children were up here for children's story this morning, it's like, and the first song that they sang, it was, I will early come to you. And here they are. They're with us in our church. And when our four children were still at home and we were in Idaho, Ron had two churches. One church was in Vail, Oregon. We were building a new church then. And then we had the other church for a short time in Parma. So there was quite some distance between these two churches. And so Ron would always drive the back road to Parma, and we'd come the back road home. Well, the kids had learned about something that was really fun to them, and it shows how easily our family was entertained. They said, oh, Daddy, on the way home from prayer meeting one night, and it was summertime, let's go kangaroo rat chasing. Now, this was a big deal for us because it was fun. And the kangaroo rats, how many have seen a kangaroo rat out? Yes. They're so much fun. So we had a Volkswagen Bug, 6 of us in it. The 4 kids were smaller then, of course. And so Ron turned off the road and we were in the hills and we were chasing kangaroo rats. And it was so much fun because they can jump. Whoa. And they have these long tails. And they call them kangaroo rats because they jump like a kangaroo. Oh, this was fun. And I said, Ron, slow down. Because he'd go, boom, and you'd lose your stomach. And so this was really fun. And the kids, when I said slow down, it's like, no, Daddy, speed up. You know. And so we were having a good time. But we got close to the top, and all of a sudden, Ron turned off the lights and stopped. It's like, what is he doing? And then he started creeping forward. The dusty roads were too narrow to turn around. So we crept through this bedding down of many, many sheep. And then we saw the shepherd's tent. And here were the sheep. Hundreds of sheep. And they were right next to the shepherd's tent. It's like they couldn't get close enough. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And they love him. They were on this side of the road and this side of the road. And Ron had the kids be quiet. But look at the sheep. Look at the shepherd. Look at the shepherd's tent. It was at night. And The sheep probably heard us coming, but what happens when the shepherd is there? There's peace, just like for us. When the shepherd is there, there's peace. And when the sheep are with their shepherd, they learn to trust him because he's so gentle and compassionate. There's some things that sheep do before they bring him in at night. And some of these things are, he may sing or whistle. But the sheep, they get in tune with that voice, and they love that voice because they know with that voice there is care. But also, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Zephaniah 3:17, there is somebody that we will find who sings over you. Zechariah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. He is with you and is strong to save. He delights in you and will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Does that make you feel just wonderful? I want Jesus to sing over me. Do you want Jesus to sing over you? Oh, amen. And he does. In the East, the sheepfold is not exactly a clean and comfortable place for the sheep. They bring him in, but there's dung in there, so it's not, doesn't smell really good. It isn't real clean, and they have to be close together. So when it becomes morning, as soon as day breaks, the shepherd is there, and he wants to take his sheep out. And especially in the desert area, the dew comes in the morning, and often that can be the only time of day that the sheep will get moisture because the dew is heavy on the plants, and that way they can get their hydration through eating the early morning plants. But it also reminds me of how we should start our day with a compassionate, kind, loving shepherd. First thing in the morning, our attention should be to our compassionate Savior. It's easy, and I've done this, I think I'll wait until I get my kitchen clean. Or I think I'll wait until, and then the phone rings, and then, here's the bill sitting here, but there's a reason, even if we go back to the Israelites, the sheep out in the desert, when the manna came, they were to get it first thing. If they waited too long, it was gone. And I think this is something we need to consider, is God comes first, even in the morning. And it's good just to fall out of bed, be on your knees. In looking over the great Psalm 23, I just chose, because you know I can be long-winded, the part to share with you this morning on He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And in a way, to me, that sounds a little bit forceful. And you think of your gentle, compassionate Savior, the gentle shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That seems a little out of sort. But as I got to thinking about it, you know, really, sometimes we need to be made to do something because he has a purpose in mind. And I have an illustration of that. I was going to a pastor's wife's retreat once in the Washington Conference here. In fact, we were going out to Warm Beach, that's not too far from here on Camino Island. And our house was also up for sale because we were moving from the Federal Way Church to the Enumclaw Church. And so I was really busy that day. And I had my bags by the front door. I was all ready to go. And then I thought, okay, now what do I need to do for the house in case anybody comes to look at the house while I'm gone? So Ron said to me, come on, let's talk. Well, you know, our living room had carpet, and I was always the one that sat on the floor, never him. And he pulled me down beside me, and he said, let's talk. And it's like, you know how busy I am. I have this, I want to check, you know, the corners and the laundry room and all this. And he goes, no, let's talk. So I thought, okay, this is not like him. I'm the one that always says, come on, let's talk. So I sat down by him, and then it got to be really enjoyable. It was like, man, when we were first married, you were really a fireball. Really? Yeah, I probably was. Yeah. So we talked how the Lord had led in each of our lives. We talked about his first sermon, being a new member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so we must have sat there for, we sat there at least 45 minutes to an hour. And it was fun. It was good. It was a good thing. And then my ride came and I took off. I took off. He stayed back. And that day, I remember, it just started to snow. And we got up there a little bit later because the driver was kind of afraid of slick roads. And supper was like at 6:30. And about, we put our things in our room, and it was about 10 after 6. And the vice president of the shepherdess, the pastor's wives, came up to me and she said, Rosella, she had laryngitis. She says, I have a problem. The guest speaker for tonight is sick, really sick. So is her daughter. She's not making it tonight. And I said to my husband, what am I going to do? And this is what her husband said. Well, just have Rosella do it. And she says, so I'm coming to you and I'm asking you if you'll do tonight's meeting. You have 45 minutes and I have a subject for you. It's in 20 minutes. It's the past. Now, this is what the pastor's wives, the seminar was. Friday night, past. Saturday night, present. Sunday, future. Okay, now let's go back to the beginning of the day. Who pulled me down and said, let's talk? Let's talk about the past. See, sometimes the Lord says, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's a purpose, and it's not always seen. I know recently when we got our Christmas tree, and because it was next door to where a gal from my support group was, and she went and talked to the owner of the Christmas tree farm, and we went to pay for it, and he goes, oh, no, you're not going to pay for it this time. And he put his arms around me, and he said, I want you to know, someday God is going to tell you why. God is going to tell you why. There's four things that need to be done before a shepherd can help his sheep lie down in green pastures. Okay, first of all, they need to be free from fear. Free from all fear. And now let's kind of think about this even in our church setting. They need to be free of friction with other sheep. They need to be where they're not being tormented by flies or parasites. The presence of Jesus, is what takes care of all four of these, needs. It's the presence of Jesus that keeps them calm. When the shepherd has to leave for a while and take care of something else, and he's coming back, he notices some things. And I learned this in a book that one of my support friends loaned me when she knew I was going to do a talk on the compassionate shepherd. And this man actually had done sheep herding himself. And he said that when he came back, he was noticing that some of the older sheep, some of the older ewes, were butting around some of the younger lambs and just being kind of bullies and being ornery. But when the shepherd came back and was in their midst, all of it stopped. And I think this study this week has really taught me, wow, when you're feeling bullied or anxious, what do you need? You need the presence of the compassionate shepherd. And wow, what he does for us. I know I need the presence of Jesus. And it used to be, I need thee every hour. There's a song in our hymnal. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. But that's not for me. I'm finding that it's like every second, not just every hour. Lord, I need you. I need you all the time. And that's why in the morning we kneel and we go to the cross and we say, Jesus, I've got to empty myself. Because we can't have both Jesus and self in our hearts. I've learned the hard way. So we empty ourselves and then we ask Jesus to come in. Does it mean that we'll never make a mistake again? No, because our shepherd is also our intercessor. But we die to self, ask Jesus to come in and live for him and ask him to be with us every second. Hebrews 4, I'm going to actually start with 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, a compassionate shepherd, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest or gentle shepherd who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted. He has been over that terrain. He knows how to lead his sheep. He loves us. He gave his life for us. And you can go through some more of those pictures, because here's the shepherds that were in Eastern Washington. And Washington, I meant Eastern Oregon. And as you see, they have quite a lot of packed, so they're going to spend a lot of time with those sheep. I would like to share with you a couple times. I'm glad you have put it to that picture. I love that picture of Jesus and his black sheep. Because I think all of us, don't you feel like a black sheep sometime? Like, whoa, I blew it. I want to tell you about two times that I felt like Jesus, the compassionate shepherd, shepherded me. The first one will include Rita, my sister Rita. Our parents had divorced. We were in California, Angwin, PUC area. And it had been pretty rough. And so our mother, Alice Clark, at that time, no, maybe not quite that time, We went to Montana from California. Rita and I ended up going to Mount Ellis Academy in Montana. Our dean was such a compassionate shepherd, wasn't she, Rita? Wonderful. She took us in, and knowing we were from California and from divorced parents and everything, she put us in a room right across from her apartment. And she had two little girls herself. And she was such a compassionate, wonderful shepherd to us. In fact, she was to all her girls. I remember getting in trouble once. I think this was after Rita left. I didn't have her to keep me in line. So I remember the principal was like with her, "Well, who did it?" And our dean, Kathy Hickson, said, "Oh, it's already taken care of. But I want to know who did it. Oh, I've taken care of it." And she was so loyal to her girls. And we loved her so much that when we made her feel bad, we wouldn't do it again because of our love for her. Is it our love for Jesus that wants us to give up sin and self and wants us to die to self? Because we love him so much, we want him in our lives every second. The second one I want to tell you is from Mountain Home, Idaho. And there was a really small church there. You go there now and there's a nice, they've built a new church. And even the bathroom was outside in a little building. It was very clean, very clean. And we were going to have evangelistic meetings there. And how excited we were. This was the first church we had on our own. It was our third year. And, you know, as an intern, usually they have you under a senior pastor for the first couple of years. And there was a couple, and they had a boy and a girl that had come up from California. He was a dentist, and they decided to, they wanted to get out of the country. I think they came up from a Loma Linda area. And they had sheep. But anyway, this couple were going to come and do evangelistic meetings for us. An evangelist and his wife. And I had seen her play the organ at camp meeting. She was wonderful. She could be talking to somebody, playing the organ, you know, what is it, four tiers or what, making her feet go, and talking to somebody. She's not even looking at the music. So when they came to our church to get acquainted, I asked her if she would like to play the piano. And she looked at me and she goes, "Well, if you're supposed to play the piano, you play the piano." And I went, it just took me by surprise. And it was like, oh dear. So to get myself together at this little church, there was two little rooms before you went into the main part of the church. And that's where they held Sabbath school class. And I had to go somewhere. So I went back there to just get myself together and go, maybe count one, two, maybe count sheep. But anyway, I was back there and thinking, oh, what have I done? And I felt a hand on my shoulder. Her name was Helen Pancoast. They're the ones that moved up from California. And she said, "Rosella, just remember, she's human too." And she left. And it was like, whoa. She didn't put me down. She didn't put her down. Now, as Paul Harvey says, would you like to hear the rest of the story? I didn't know it, but she had had a brain tumor surgery. Now she could no longer just play and talk and whatever else. She needed the music and she needed to practice now. And it was like, oh, if I could only be like this woman and not blame people, but help out, be a gentle shepherd to those around me. I'd like to read from Psalm 139, 1 to 14 and then 24, because this is so wonderful how Jesus knows us. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me, like Helen. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness, if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the dark is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as a day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And 24. And he goes on to say, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That is my prayer this morning. We have to be careful also on how we choose our shepherd. Our daughter at 5 years old learned choosing your shepherd is pretty important at this place where Helen Pankos, the one that helped me through my little trial there. We were invited to go there one Sabbath afternoon, and they had sheep. They had, Carrie was 5 years old. They had a son, 10, and I think the daughter might have been 9. And they invited her. I had made my daughter this long pink gingham dress, and it had ruffles on it. She had that on. And they said, oh, come out to the barn with us. And then they convinced her, you know, you should ride a sheep. It is so much fun. And so they held this sheep, and she got on it. Well, they didn't know her personality quite yet. So they got her on the sheep, and talking to my daughter a week ago, this last week, I said, well, what was the ride like? She goes, Mom, it was like a bucking bronco. She has 4 horses, a bucking bronco. And they got kind of nervous because they were saying, Carrie, let go. And she wouldn't let go because that's her personality. Carrie, fall off. She wouldn't fall off because that's her personality. Finally, the sheep won and she ended off. We need to choose our shepherds, the voice we want to follow, because there's many, many false people out there that just kind of want to get you. We need to know him. And remember the first story about how they the sheep want to be close to their shepherd. And Hebrews 7:25. He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God, to our gentle shepherd, through him, since he lives to make intercession for you. So we're sheep. We ask Jesus in our hearts, and we really want to follow him. But we err. And we're just told here in Hebrews, he is there to always make intercession for us. He wants us to be close to Him. And I really feel that I'm to the place where I really want to be close to Him. And I'm so thankful for this study because it showed me how God cares for all of our needs. In Winlock, even in this conference, we had a doctor in our first church in Winlock that raised sheep. And he said, you know, if you would have known me before, you would have known I was not a patient man. And I remember we would go over there at lambing season and see those beautiful, spotless, sometimes those ewes would have triplets. Whoa, perfect, beautiful little creatures. But this doctor, he wasn't quite retired. He kind of kept on a long time, but he was so caring and so compassionate over those ewes when they gave birth to the lambs. He would stay out in the barn with them all night, to help them get through. Jesus wants to do that for us. He wants us with whatever our problems we have. He wants to be there for you. He wants us to come near to Him. When we were first married, you have all these plans. Ron was a new Adventist, so we weren't vegetarian our first year. And one day, because he worked for a farmer, he brought home a little lamb. He said, we're going to raise this, and then we're going to raise our own meat. I was like, okay, all right. I don't know if I'd ever tasted lamb, but he thought it was okay. So he would go to work, and I would go out to play with the lamb. And he would go to work, and I would go and play with the lamb. And then when he went out to play to feed the lamb, I thought, he's kind of spending time with the lamb. So I worked in his aunt's beauty salon right next door to where we lived. And this was months later, and he came home, came to see me, and he goes, oh, I had the lamb butchered. I was like, you what? Yeah. And so it was just probably a few weeks later, and he's a good cook. He's always a good cook. Decided to make us supper. And so this was our first meal. And so he had it, you know, cooked and everything, and then he went, bah. And neither one of us took a bite. Neither one of us could touch this lamb. So it was given away. Jesus wants us to become close to Him, really close to Him, so that we never want to harm Him, make Him feel bad. He has that invitation to all of us to come unto me. All you that labor, and I will give you rest. One of my favorite books, The Desire of Ages. I just want to read just a little bit here for you. There's a whole, and I would suggest you all read. There's a chapter, it's called The Divine Shepherd. Though now he has ascended to the presence of God and shares the throne of the universe, Jesus has lost none of his compassionate nature. Today, the same tender, sympathizing heart is open to all the woes of humanity. Today the hand that was pierced is reached forth to bless more abundantly his people that are in the world. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The soul that has given himself to Christ is more precious in his sight than the whole world. The Savior would have passed through the agony of Calvary, that one, that you might be saved in his kingdom. He will never abandon one for whom he has died, unless his followers choose to leave him. He will hold them fast. What a promise. Listen to the voice of the true gentle shepherd. Through the gentle shepherd, I am justified. Through the gentle, compassionate shepherd, he forgives my failures and sins as if I had never sinned. Can you imagine that? Wow. Because of the gentle, compassionate shepherd, I am accepted into God's family. Because of the gentle, compassionate shepherd, he sets me free from slavery to sin and self. He's the one that helps me die to self. Through the gentle, compassionate shepherd, I'm resurrected into new life every day. Every day. Through the gentle, compassionate shepherd, we have immediate access to God in prayer. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Die to self. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This morning, I would like to give my life to Jesus completely as his sheep. He's so good to me. Is there anybody else that would like to do that? Let's stand if you would like that to be done. And thank you, Jesus, for accepting us all as the sheep of your fold. And we can hardly wait to see you, the one who paid that huge, huge price for our salvation. The lamb that was taken in our place. For our benediction this morning, I would like to read from Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, our compassionate shepherd, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.